Welcome to the Fantasy Football Podcast Bold Move. We got a real treat for you today, folks, because not only am I here with my co-host, Chris, who I'm here with every week. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks.
But we had to bring back our first repeat guest and someone that is, dominating the fantasy football lately, Troy. Welcome, Troy. Second time on the podcast. Really excited to have you.
Yeah, second time on. Happy to be here. You know, after coming off a week like that where I'm putting up 202, I had to come back, right? This is my spot to have. Like, I think that should earn me a permanent third host for the show, but we can talk about that later.
Okay.
Let's not go too far. Let's baby steps. One thing is, it was 1 week. Respect for you for breaking 200. I don't know if we've ever had it in all of the years we've done
football.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
I don't think so either, to be honest. And it's a real bummer that this had to happen to me. Because I feel like this year in fantasy has been a real roller coaster for me. I think didn't start out great, started a little momentum, then started to fall back on my ass again. And I kind of am finding myself on the bottom of the league. So, Troy, tell us a little bit about your 200-point performance, best ever, best in the league. What do you got going on?
I mean, honestly, it's mixing, right? Him putting up four touchdowns, I think he had.
Five.
I mean,
that's okay.
Three at halftime. Like, you know, you got to give it up to the man. He carried my team this week. Anytime you have someone break into the 40s, it's going to be a good day. And I just happened to get really lucky. I had some other key players. I had Goddard put up 20 plus, 23, I think. You know, I just had some good luck.
Yeah, and that's the best way to do it, you know, like just luck your way into smashing my face in. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Justin, at what point were you like, oh, this is over? Was it when like Mixon's at like 25, 30 points or what?
Yeah, it was when Mixon was at halftime. Like, I knew it was done. And to be honest, I think if you take a hard look at my team, three out of my top four guys essentially were out. Right? So no McCaffrey, no Saquon Barkley, and no Jerry Jeudy. So kind of fucked from the beginning, if we're going to be honest. I think this was like my bye week. But, I got to give it up. If I got beat by 1 point, 2 points, I'd be on here with like, you know, bitching and moaning. I got beat by almost 100. So, you know, respect where respect is due.
A win's a win, a loss is a loss. So I'm with you. At the end of the day, it's like, okay. And if you're going to take a loss, take it that week where all of your guys are sitting on the bench too. If you're going to get beat that bad.
Yeah. I mean, and like, it's not like you lose by 1 or 2 points. You're looking at your bench. There's plays you could have made. You know, there's decisions. It's your fault. Like, but winning by, you know, losing by almost 100 points, there is nothing you could have done. Unless, like, you have, like, a 18 collusion trade to try to go up against me.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think I had, like, 6 points on my bench. So it's not like all my best guys were not out there. I made the perfect place for what I had in the hopper. I just had nothing in the hopper.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy football comes down to one statistic, and it's plob. It's your points left on the bench. Mm-hmm. And if you can eliminate that, you're going to have a good week. You're going to win games. And then the other part just comes down to, can you get the performance out of your players? Can they perform to the level that you need them to? And mine exceeded all expectations and all necessities this week. I think at one point it was like 198 to 50. And that's just like the funniest, scoreboard I could imagine, like just looking at it.
Yeah, it was looking real rough until I got to Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Because all my players were done.
We kind of had a crazy week, though, because I feel like there was four of the matchups were really close, and then two of them were like, I think it was yours, and then let me pull up the thing.
Casey.
Casey's was an absolute blowout against, I think that was Nate's team. That was a blowout. All the other games were like within 6 points. I mean, it was close the entire weekend for the most part.
Yeah, which I'm hoping that I get another bump coming on the show. I hope that good luck keeps rolling, because I am going against Casey right now, and he does have a very good team, a very good record. You know, and this is going to – I think if I beat him, that kind of, I think that might tie us for first in the league, which I think is pretty crazy and important.
Yeah, big and win. if you look at Casey, he's got a 5-win streak right now.
Yeah, he's
hot. So he's hot. His team is hot. He put up 130, which was the second highest score in the league. Would have beat everyone except Troy, obviously. So again, a good team for Casey. He did have the number one pick, if I'm remembering that correctly. So yeah. Although Jonathan Taylor hasn't done shit for him, he's still got a pretty formidable lineup. And I'm looking where his points are coming from. It's really his Tyreek Hill has been dominating. And then Kenneth Walker III, which is your Sparty boy over there, Chris.
Let's go.
I think that Mel Tucker should give Walker like at least 60% of that paycheck that he's getting from MSU, because clearly he's the reason why he got that extension.
No, yeah, I don't argue with that. We've had an embarrassing year, and then to top it all off, the icing on the cake, we start a fight in the tunnel. Like, are you kidding me? Like, we have assault charges going against us. Like, it's been a rough couple, I'll just say, weeks for me. I think I'm on like a 3-game losing streak. I can't find anything right now. My Spartans are in the hole. Our basketball team looks like crap. My governor lost last night. This is just everything's falling apart right now in my life.
Yeah, all things not coming up, Chris, this week.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Yeah, you had a pretty good week against Dalton. Just kind of ran into that Josh Allen train. I mean, Patrick Mahomes put up 34. You know, Diggs was a little quieter than he usually is with only 14. And then nothing happening at tight end.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, Chris, I want to hear from you. Is it time to make a trade and try to claw your way back, or are you still confident in your team as is?
Yeah, I'm still holding tight. It's unfortunate what happened with Dalton playing against him this week, but I would say I still have faith in Ja'Marr Chase that he can get his hip figured out, because that's my big thing. Without Ja'Marr Chase, I'm not going to win. I need to get him back. Right. He's projected. He's out this week too. I'm actually playing Hunter, which I'm one of Hunter's losses that I've given him this year. He's 7-2. He's won 7 weeks in a row, which I don't think we're giving him enough credit for either.
Crazy.
But I do like my team still. I'm still holding firm. My big concern, honestly, for this week, I want to see myself win. I don't want to see Trevor win anymore. The whole bet is starting to get a little bit realistic when I start looking at standings. I'm like, ooh, Trevor and Dalton are playing this week. And if Trevor wins, I think he jumps Dalton in the standings.
Yeah, that's tough, and to be honest, no one hates Trevor winning more than I do, because I think this podcast is at its best when we're clowning him, and I definitely don't want him above me in the standings. With his team is not clearly not as good. Like, I had half my team on the bench and I scored more points than him, but he's had a really favorable lineup. He's had a really favorable schedule, and
Matchups too. He scored the least amount of points. Every other person he would have played, besides Nate, he would have lost to. I mean, his team's not that good. He played Houston. Okay. Houston's team's in the garbage as well. He's lost 5 in a row.
Yeah.
But Trevor just got lucky with the matchup.
You hate to see Houston, because he was so close to victory. 4 points between him and Trevor, a good matchup for him against another bottom tier team. You hate to see another week go by without a win.
Yeah, and he's got 24 points sitting on his bench, not playing Drake. If he makes that one move and puts him in either one of his running back spots, I mean, he scored more points than both of his other running backs combined.
But I will say, with the Drake move, I get it, because you're playing – he plays for the Ravens. So it's like, okay, Lamar Jackson is like pure NCAA video game, like 2014. Like, he just runs around on the field, and occasionally he'll run it for like a little scramble or something. So you never know if he's going to actually get the ball handed off to him.
Right. He's very touchdown dependent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, have you looked at his bench right now? He has, no joke, zero bench players this week. Everyone is on a bye. Every single player. Look at his team right now. He has, the only person he has at his bench is Brandon Cooks, who's questionable, and his defense is the Ravens, which has a bye. So that means he has to move the Ravens down to his bench. He has to drop or move one of these guys to IR to open up a spot for a defense that he can stream for the week. Trust me, I want him to beat Trevor, especially like this, or I want him to beat whoever he's playing this week. Nate, I want him to beat Nate, but that is abysmal. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Gosh, I didn't even know you could draft like that. Or, like, even pick up enough players.
I don't know. He's got eight players on bye, including his defense. And, by the way, quarterback, questionable. Running back, questionable. Running back, two, questionable. Wide receiver, two, questionable. Like, Brandon Cooks on his bench, questionable. Like, he might end up with not enough players to, like, put up points this week.
What's mind-boggling, too, is he still has a 42% chance of winning, and he's not playing the defense. Like, he has a chance.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because if everyone plays and they score, well, you know, what they're projecting, he's still putting up 92 points, which is, you know, not great, but, you know, 92 points can still win you some games.
Yeah.
Especially if you pay Trevor.
You know what? Yeah. I'm just really upset that I'm here in this position amongst the riffraff, because I really do feel like my team is so much better than Nate and Trevor and Houston. But, you know, the record is what it is. You got to kind of hang your hat on that. I had a couple bad breaks and a couple, you know, last week suffered, you know, against the highest score ever in the league. And now I got to kind of sit on my 3-6 record. But I am playing Sam. His team is downtrending. And I feel like this is a grudge match from week one.
Yeah, I feel like your matchup this week, the loser's done. Like, the winner still has a chance to do something. But the loser, I think, has just got to throw the towel in for the year and start focusing on take a trip in February.
Yeah.
I'll say this, Justin. I'm looking at the standings right now, and ESPN has you with a 14% chance of making the playoffs. So there's still hope. It's not zero.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Houston,
hey, listen,
0%, Nate, 3%, and then you at 14. But
okay. It's
not zero, and it's not three.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, I really have to put something together here, but I think I made the trade last week, got Lamar Jackson, got my quarterback situation in a better spot. McCaffrey has been domination station on the 49ers, so we're looking for that to continue. Saquon Barkley's strong. We lost Breece Hall. That would have been a game changer for me, because having him in the lineup to even just trade away, get a little value on the wide receiver end, my team would be off to the races. It's not how the season's shaping up, so it is what it is.
Yeah. I would say, too, Trevor's got a 20% chance, and somehow Dalton has a, was it, 58? And I think they're only a game apart, so I wonder if that flips if Trevor wins.
I'm nervous. Trust me. No, we don't want Trevor to win. We don't want him in the playoffs, and we don't want to do a podcast live from IHOP.
No.
That would be terrible. Yeah. Okay, so Chris, why don't you tell me the game of the week, who you're looking at, who you're focused on for this week, week 10.
I actually think it's Hunter and I think I can take him down. I think I can catch him a little bit off his cusp a little bit. Especially with him winning 7 in a row. I mean, that's incredibly hard. Like, I look at that to win 7 in a row week after week when it's, you're playing with buys, you're playing with injuries and everything, but I think my quarterback with Mahomes is going to put up big numbers in Jacksonville. I am a little bit more worried about my wide receiver with Diggs out there, just because Josh Allen, he may have some elbow injuries, so little skeptical of what's going to happen with him not knowing who's going to throw the ball. And then I have Knox as well, their tight end. So I'm kind of putting it all in Buffalo.
Yeah, but if Josh is healthy, I think that's a great matchup for Diggs.
Yeah,
lots of opportunities downfield. And to be honest, last week he still had a pretty good week, but he dropped a long one that would have been a touchdown. That would have been a huge point swing for you.
Well, that would have been 7 points, and I beat Dalton.
Right. At least, yeah, at least easily. Plus the yardage, right?
Yeah.
Troy, what about you? What's the matchup you're looking at this week?
I mean, obviously, I would love for Chris to be Hunter this week. Yeah. That's good for my team. That's good for me in the standings. I mean, if Hunter goes down and I beat Casey, you know, there I'm sitting alone at the top of the league. And, you know, I think Trevor and Dalton is always going to be an interesting matchup. Right now, it looks like Dalton has them. But, I mean, Trevor's on a 3-game win streak. Dalton won last week. And then we got the battle of the losers, who's going to have a bounce back game between you and Sam. And, you know, so you're projected to kill him right now by like 20. But we'll see how that shakes out.
We're back to full strength. I obviously I'm losing my quarterback this week. I tried to pick up Justin Field and missed. But I think the game I'm looking at is Houston and Nate. I think that has got to be the game of the week for the reason that you said, Chris. Loser goes home.
Yeah.
I think it's like if you lose this game, you're done. I think I'm in a similar situation with Sam, where it's like I'm right on the edge. I'm just holding on. But if Trevor loses, if I can win and beat Sam, if, you know, Houston could get a win this week, Hunter could lose, the league starts to shrink up a little bit, I still might be able to squeak into the playoffs. And to be honest, I'm not trying to win the league anymore, guys. I see my score, I see my record the same way everyone else does, but I'm trying to get two things. Keep playing, I want to get into the playoffs, sneak in, even if it's the last seed, and push Trevor out.
Yeah,
those are my two big goals for the rest of the season. Winning's not necessary. No. Average will do.
You're just building for next year. You're building for next year.
Yeah, we're rebuilding.
I'm going to give you a little bit of grief, or a little bit of just it's been tough to watch you because you have the most points against you in the entire league. I mean, you almost have 1,200 points against you. No one else is even close to that. I mean, Trevor's got maybe, what is it, 1,105? I mean, he's got a little bit, but you've had, I mean, I know Troy went off on you this week, but for the most part, everyone shows up when they play you. So I do give you a little bit, I do give you an excuse there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Houston, one of his wins is against me. Like, let's not sugarcoat it. He's barely breaking three figures. And then Hunter, same way. Hunter was 0-2 going into the game against me. We had him on the pod. He beat me and hasn't lost since. And then I'm losing to all the Bournes. I'm losing to Troy. The brothers are beating me up on this team.
Can we circle back to Houston's team? Because the more I look at it, I think just like loading your bye week and having like half your team out for 1 week on a bye and just tossing that week away isn't the worst strategy in the world.
If your team is good.
If it's a good team,
If you're going like 7-2 and then you're like, hey, you know, I'm going to go 7-3 because I'm throwing a week away because everyone's lined up. The players he has on his team are atrocious. And so to have no bench play is crazy.
Right. But like, you know, because everyone else, you know, Mahomes, he's missing games because every team has buys. But if you just front load them, that means you the 1 week where you're the weakest because your starters aren't playing and everything like else. It's just 1 week. It's not scattered out. You're not like panicking every week. Who's on buy this week? Who do I got to fill? And throwing in random bench players. Like, you know when you're what week your team's in trouble, and you can kind of plan around that.
Yeah. Okay. If you could pick one team in the NFL to do that with, which team would you pick?
Ooh.
Just stack. I think you.
I mean, you have to go with like the highest scoring offense. So you'd have to do like a Kansas City, a Buffalo, Eagles. Like, you have to pick one of those teams that just puts up numbers.
Yeah.
I think the correct answer is the. is Kansas City, right? The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because you got Mahomes, Juju Smith-Schuster, you got Tyreek Hill, you moved, but you got Kelsey, pretty good defense, pretty good kicker. Like, I think your team looks pretty good if you just are drafting Kansas City top to bottom.
I agree. At first I said Buffalo, but I'm like, okay, you basically have Diggs and Josh Allen. But then after that, I'm like, who do you go with? Like, with Mahomes, Juju,
I know, running games. That's the thing is, I think Kansas City is more, and again, the 49ers – and to be honest, from a fantasy standpoint, if you're just looking at points, Dolphins with Tua and you got Hill and you got some other guys. Like, I think
if you have Tua, Hill, and Waddle on your team, that's
you'd be killing it.
That's consistent. Like, that
you'd at least beat Nate. Nate scored 60 points last week, so like,
I think
Troy could have beat him with just Mixon. Like, Mixon versus Nate's whole team last week would have been an interesting
and the kicker. Like, Mixon, and the literally gets you the win.
Yeah,
but I do
Mixon
agree.
Plus one bench player.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's definitely interesting.
Honestly, there's a I think I saw this on Instagram or something, but there is a guy, he made a 32-team fantasy league and just drafted top to bottom each team. So it's like Mahomes, boom, 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 all the Kansas City Chiefs, and then he named them like the Chiefs, the Patriots, whatever, and they I'll have to look into that, and maybe I'll bring some data to the next podcast.
Bring some stats,
Yeah.
I do think what's kind of crazy is you probably could have got the Dolphins lineup. Like, actually, in this, I would love to look back at our draft. You could have got Hill, Waddle, and Tua.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I think you could have got any. Like, maybe you'd miss out on, like, McCaffrey. It depends, right? It depends what level. I was, like, the third, or I think I was the second pick this year. So I could have got everyone except the Colts with Jonathan Taylor, but like, no one's picking the Colts top to bottom.
But Jonathan Taylor stinks this year because the Colts stink.
Yeah, he's hurt, and the team stinks.
Well, that's just because their O-line's terrible. And you have an owner who then says, I'm going to hire this guy who's never coached anything above high school football to now be my interim coach. And it's like, he hasn't even been in the building probably in months. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I was talking to my parents about that, and I was like, that's like Michael Phelps hiring me to come coach him in swimming, and I probably have more coaching experience than Jeff Saturday. Like, I'm going into my sixth season as a high school swim coach.
That's right. You got years on your belt, man.
Yeah. Did you hear Jim Irsay's, like, quartile quote, too?
Yeah,
like,
we're the highest quartile of winning in the past 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, but then he was like, we're the highest quartile of the highest quartile. So, like, they're the top. Like,
yeah. Well, you know what they say. If the stats don't play in your favor, make up new stats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find a stat until you look good.
Yeah.
And just make it up.
You can look at the numbers any which way.
Yeah. There's always going to be a stat that will make your team look good.
Yeah. All right, boys. Well, I think that wraps this conversation this week. Another awesome week of fantasy football ahead. Good luck to everyone. Set your fucking lineups. And a special shout out to our other podcast bro, Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
Congrats on the kid. Good things coming your way. Set your fucking lineups.
Set your fucking lineups. Houston, go draft somebody.